Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, loyal listeners around the world, well, good evening to you. Well, I gotta tell you, this episode, to say that it was fully unplanned is not quite accurate. Because leading to today, as I'm recording, late Monday evening, of course this is post-Monday Night Raw, well, the reports that were surfacing all day kind of basically said, well, if this is true, then I obviously need to talk about it. Obviously, I'm talking about Rhea Ripley. And obviously, they opened Monday Night Raw with that. And it's very, very, very sad. You know, in professional wrestling, injuries come with the territory. You know, at least one time in your career, you're going to suffer an injury that is serious. And I got to tell you, seeing Rhea Ripley having to forfeit the title, I mean, it's very, very unfortunate. But again, she's legitimately hurt. And some people were convinced that this whole thing, because, again, there were reports saying that Rhea Ripley is hurt and may have to forfeit the title on Monday Night Raw. Many were seriously hoping that it was merely a work. That it was not legit. You know, and some people were fully convinced that it was fully a work because of, you know, the attack last week involving Liv Morgan. Well, it turns out that it's legitimate. I'm not sure if they have basically disclosed what sort of injury it is. Well, based on the whole thing with Liv Morgan, obviously it's a shoulder injury, right? I mean, we saw what Liv Morgan did on the stage after Rhea Ripley finished her promo. And we saw that backstage segment with Liv Morgan. Well, to put it mildly, Liv Morgan said, a shoulder for a shoulder. So obviously that means Liv Morgan is on her way to a heel turn. Obviously I should say, well, she's already heel, right? At the same time, I mean, 8 months ago, it was Rhea Ripley that put Liv Morgan on the shelf with a shoulder injury. So for storyline purposes, Liv Morgan says that it's obviously karma. It's just, you know, now that the tables have turned, Liv Morgan is heel, and obviously Rhea Ripley is on her way to becoming a face. Although some would say because of with the promo for her relinquishing the title, that Rhea Ripley is already a face. Now, I spoke on this program with my friend Mark and my friend Ricky that Rhea Ripley is obviously on her way to a face turn. But right now, we don't know what's going on because we don't know how long Rhea Ripley is going to be out. So, obviously, the future of the Judgment Day is still, well, still got a lot of possible theories out of that. But, and, well, obviously, you know, as I mentioned, speaking of my friend Mark, Mr. Braverman, he was actually originally going to join me for this episode. Right when Monday Night Raw started, I texted him and asked him if he wanted to talk about it, and he said, yeah, but although Mark is dealing with a cold, and I did call him right before I did this show, and Mark's just not sounding good at all. So I told Mark, look, you know what, Mark? I love you. You do a great job on the show, but I think that, you know, with you being sick like this, it's best for you to just take the night off because, look, I'll be honest with y'all. I've seen the positivity. I've seen the very nice comments y'all have said about Mr. Braverman, and don't you worry. Mark Braverman is fully aware of the support, of the love and support y'all have been giving him, and he is instructing me to tell you all that he really appreciates it, and he's going to be back on the show as soon as possible. So, anyway, so Mark is obviously just about questioning about what goes on from here. Now, aside from Rhea Ripley, well, obviously, we all know that means that Liv Morgan's obviously going to have the belt put on her, and I would imagine she's probably going to be champion for a while. Obviously, they're going to set up a program with Liv Morgan and Rhea Ripley, and I would hope that, honestly, if they can set up a rivalry, like a program between Liv Morgan and Rhea Ripley to basically conclude at WrestleMania next year, I think that would be cool. I mean, because of the history with those two. And not just with this recent injury, but there's a long history between Rhea and Liv Morgan, so they really got to build it. So as far as Liv Morgan goes, well, obviously now you know now's her time, right? But still, I got to tell you, you know, and Rhea Ripley, you know, embracing with the Judgment Day backstage, and that clip of her, you know, hugging Triple H and Triple H whispering in her ear, you know, giving her some advice, telling her to stay strong. I mean, man, I'll be honest with you, that wasn't easy to watch. But I gotta tell you, I feel like this Monday Night Raw was certainly better than the Monday Night Raw that we saw last week. Now, I'm not gonna go through every single thing, but obviously, as I mentioned, you know, Rhea Ripley kicked off the show, and Liv Morgan obviously appeared on the stage and everything. So, man, whew. I gotta tell you, that backstage segment with Liv Morgan, shoulder for a shoulder, man, that says something. Well, I should mention it's good to see Sheamus again. Sheamus, you know, coming back and with his old old entrance music as well. You know, he worked it back. You know, beating Ivar of the Viking Raiders. And we were presented with new tag team titles, and they're actually now called, I believe, the World Tag Team titles. So, and of obviously seeing R-Truth continue with his very, very pure entertainment. Oh boy! But seeing a brand new set of Raw tag team titles, I really like the new brand and the new design. So, but I gotta tell you. But R-Truth mistaking Triple H for Tommaso Ciampa, man, that was fun. And then obviously, the Creed Brothers, the New Day, and DIY had a triple threat match, tag team match, to crown to determine the number one contenders. And DIY, Tommaso Ciampa, and Johnny Gargano are obviously now the number one contenders. I don't know what to say about that. So, but R-Truth confusing Triple H for Ciampa is hilarious. And oh boy, what was that? And you know, Montreal, and you know, Miz briefly speaking French. And obviously, my friend Mr. Braverman texts me unaware that Miz spoke a little bit of French, and I have to remind him. Well, the Miz's wife, Maryse, well, she's from Montreal, so. Yeah, I gotta say too, I'm French-American, so I gotta say it correctly. It's Montreal, ladies and gentlemen. skipping a little bit, you know, seeing Andrade work a match with Dominic Mysterio. Well, obviously that's something Mark, you know, certainly wouldn't want to talk about, but I would imagine the finish of the match was pretty good, so. Man. You know, and, so the Canadian Destroyer on the apron as well. So, you know, Cody Rhodes addressing the WWE Universe, and you know, Cody Rhodes obviously brought in a little bit of French as well. So I'm glad that. So you see Jey Uso getting involved with in the segment as well, and then of course ending it by saying in Cody Rhodes' case, until we yeet again. Oh man. And Jey Uso worked a match with Finn Balor. Don't really have anything to say about that. But let's go ahead and skip to the main event, shall we? Because I feel like, aside from Rhea Ripley and the new tag team titles, I feel like obviously the main event, the Intercontinental Championship match between the current champion Sami Zayn and his challenger Chad Gable. You know, it's no surprise it's the main event because this, obviously, the show is in Montreal, Quebec, Canada. So you got Montreal's own Sami Zayn. I gotta tell you, that entrance, you know, with Jey, seeing Sami Zayn outside looking at the sky, and then Jey Uso joining him. I mean, that whole entrance, it had to be done. It had to be done. And what an incredible, and I mean what an incredible match between Sami Zayn and Chad Gable. And you know, and Bully Ray couldn't have said it better himself. Even as champion, Sami Zayn is able to deem himself as the underdog. Man. Woo-wee! what a competition. I mean, what a well-worked match. And are we surprised by what happened at the end? Chad Gable turning heel and attacking Sami Zayn? Well, see, that's not the surprise, but I gotta tell you, the heat, and I mean the absolute heat that Chad Gable received, because when he started attacking, one fan just literally stood up and like screamed at Gable, literally telling him to get the hell out of there. I mean, Oh, man. I mean, not to mention, Patrick Laprade, even, mentioned footage because, after Raw went off the air, the Montreal crowd, wait, now I mess up. The crowd of Montreal literally was chanting, F you, Gable. F you, Gable. I mean, and even, Sami Zayn even cut a promo after that and said that he was not going to let, that Gable wasn't going to ruin their night, so, man. So Gable just got the ultimate heel heat, because obviously he's attacking, the hometown hero. I gotta tell you, for Chad Gable to get that heat, I'm just glad that I'm just glad he did because especially for him, to attack Sami Zayn. I mean, obviously now everybody's comparing this to the dark side of Kurt Angle, so. I'm not surprised this led to a heel turn because, originally we all wanted to see Chad Gable win the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania against Gunther. So when Sami Zayn won, I mean, I knew for sure that the heel turn was gonna happen one way or the other. And then when I found out that the show this week would be in Montreal, and Sami Zayn would his first title defense would be against Chad Gable, the guy who coached him, for the championship match, We all knew that Gable would turn heel, but let's not forget last week in the locker room, Gable kind of sounded a little bit heel when he gave that that segment interview. So, man, so Chad Gable turning heel, didn't surprise anybody. But again, I just can't stop talking about all the heat that Chad Gable got, man. Oh boy. And again. After Pat LaPrade, gave a little bit of the footage, from the anger of the crowd, man, oh man, oh man, oh man. So, anyway, well, moving forward, as far as the women's championship, I would imagine that a tournament. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if a tournament was set up for the new champion. I mean, we'll have to wait and see how things go, but. Obviously, right now the biggest story involves the Bloodline, and well, I do. I should make. I should give a bit of an announcement as far as the Bloodline goes, or an update on when we'll. I'll do a full episode. Well, a fully dedicated episode as far as what the Bloodline goes from here. I feel like now's not the right time. Mark and I and Ricky on the last episode we well the last episode we did together when we covered the post-WrestleMania Raw. We did kind of give our thoughts on where things would be going moving forward. Now, this past Friday, obviously, Jimmy Uso got expelled from the Bloodline. Tama Tonga made his debut and is now aligned with the Bloodline. It would seem for now that Solo Sikoa, excuse me, that Solo Sikoa is the current tribal chief because Roman Reigns is missing in action. And I actually put a po I actually did a blog on the Playmakers blog to kind of, give some full thoughts, but here's a little bit of it. I mean, based on what we saw, I would imagine that Paul Heyman's now basically being a little bit supposedly held hostage. So right, and it's been, it's been heavily insisted. I mean, some would say it's confirmed that Jacob Fatu, Rikishi's nephew, the son of the Tonga Kid, has signed with WWE. Now, keep in mind, Tama Tonga is Haku's son. So, you got Haku's son, and then you got the Tonga Kid son, joining the Bloodline. I would imagine Jacob Fatu could make his debut maybe next week. I mean, could you imagine Jimmy Uso confronts the Bloodline, and then he gets attacked by Jacob Fatu? Then all of a sudden, the Bloodline, consists of Solo as the leader, and then Tama Tonga and Jacob Fatu. So, but I don't want to give everything I said in that blog. But right now, the way I see it is that the Bloodline Civil War. If Roman Reigns comes back, well, the way I say it, Roman Reigns comes back, supposedly reclaims his spot as the head of the table, and then he's double crossed by Solo, by Solo Sikoa, Tama Tonga, and Jacob Fatu, and then the Usos reunite. Then you see the Bloodline Civil War. You have Roman Reigns aligned with the Usos, and then they take on Fatu, Tama Tonga, and Solo Sikoa. Well, that would be certainly something huge, and. I would imagine it could culminate to a big six-man tag match at SummerSlam. We'll have to wait and see, but kind of gave a little bit of spoilers. But as far as a full episode on what's happening with the Bloodline and the Civil War, I mean, let's be honest, the Civil War has been going on for a year now, ever since Jimmy and Jay kind of, you know, split and had their thing. So, but I think now the Civil War is just about to reach its peak. So once it does, once the Civil War is officially fully ignited, that's when we'll have the episode on this program. So for now, it's not the right time, but we'll know when the time is right, and that's when the Civil War is fully ignited, and that will happen when we see what happens and what happens with Roman Reigns. And obviously, well, I kind of left out The Rock, but we don't know what's going on with The Rock. I mean, stepping down for a little bit, but he's not done with Cody. So, you know, The Rock's not done with Cody, so I'm not sure if The Rock, you know, is really going to be involved in this business with the Bloodline for now, but we'll have to wait and see. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, you can find Ringside Chaos anywhere you get your podcasts. So here's what I need you to do. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that notification bell. That way, I know for sure that you won't miss out on any exciting upcoming content. Thank you so much for joining me again on this one. Y'all have a good one, and God bless.